The following recording is copyright 2011, Diocese of Little Rock, all rights reserved. For more information, visit www.dolr.org.
3 weeks ago, on the Feast of the Epiphany of the Lord, Jesus was for the first time revealed as the Savior of all the nations. Three men were led by a star to the baby whom God had sent to save not only Jews, but foreigners as well. They brought gifts that reveal who Jesus is: gold for a king, incense to worship him as God, and what he has come to do: myrrh to embalm the body that he will sacrifice for our salvation. But you know, we continue to be surrounded by epiphanies even today. One sad epiphany that should have opened people's eyes to a crucial element of Jesus' gospel of life appeared in the newspaper right after Christmas. On December 27th, a woman was arrested in Muskogee, Oklahoma, and charged with the desecration of a human corpse after she had a natural miscarriage and tried to flush the body of her preterm infant down a toilet at Walmart. Not a good thing for her to have done, even though the baby was already dead. But what most caught my attention was the fact that it would have been legal for her to pay to have an abortionist kill her still living preterm infant and dismember its corpse, so long as the body was disposed of properly, not at Walmart. The body of her baby was a human corpse before for one reason only: because it died without the help of an abortionist. Shouldn't that have opened people's eyes? Talk about an epiphany. As we mark the 38th anniversary of Roe versus Wade this weekend, what is more important, a child's life or a child's corpse? Or consider this. Last year, the execution of a man in Ohio was postponed because a few hours before his scheduled execution, he attempted suicide by taking a potentially lethal overdose of drugs. So they took him to the hospital, pumped his stomach, nursed him back to health, and then rescheduled his execution. How? By a lethal overdose of drugs. It's apparently okay for the state to do to him what it's not okay for him to do to himself. The purpose of any epiphany is to get us to think and act differently. And in this regard, we Catholics are obligated to do all in our power to open the eyes and hearts of our fellow citizens to what God is asking of us today. Isn't it sad that on election day, there is often no one for whom we can vote with a clear conscience? I wish there were a third party that was truly pro-life, opposed to abortion and embryonic stem cell research, opposed to wars of aggression and the death penalty, in favor of helping the poor and the sick and the immigrant. As it is, we often have to choose between candidates, both of whom are unacceptable, because both of them oppose church teaching on important issues. And even on that most important issue of abortion, There are those who say they are against abortion in principle, but do not actually plan to do anything about abortion. They have other priorities to which they devote their energies. For instance, getting reelected. Today, Jesus is calling us Catholics, who constitute 25% of the electorate nationwide, to do all we can to open the eyes and hearts of our fellow Americans to the full range of pro-life issues, which will only happen once people begin to take seriously the human side of the issues we face. It's one thing to argue about abortion in the abstract, but it's quite another to have a heart-to-heart conversation with a grief-stricken woman who now has a wound deep inside that just will not heal. That sort of encounter with human brokenness and the interior devastation caused by abortion can humanize the issue and possibly reach people through their hearts, even those who have otherwise closed their minds to Jesus' gospel of life. Indeed, that is the most effective approach to take on whatever issue we face, be it immigration, healthcare, Iraq, the death penalty, you name it. And to be effective, we must always treat everyone with sincere love and respect, even as we challenge them to let down their defenses and let Jesus speak to their heart. This human dimension, articulated with sincerity and respect, is what is most missing in our national discourse regarding a broad range of topics. If we succeed in putting a human face on the issues before us, we can enable Jesus' gospel of life to have a decisive, positive impact on the future of our country. Every Christmas, we are shocked to read about an evil king who used the power of the state to kill maybe 100 baby boys in Bethlehem, maybe 200. And yet we remain complacent in the face of millions of babies, boys and girls, killed each year. Killings protected by the power of the state. But unlike Herod's subjects, we choose our rulers, and we can remove our rulers, which makes us, to some degree, complicit in these unjust killings. Or to cite another example, if after World War II, we held the German nation responsible for the millions of innocent people killed by a Nazi government that they were no longer able to change, and regarding whose policies they very soon had little voice, how can we absolve ourselves from guilt for three times as many millions of unjust killings permitted by our government and counting? A government whose policies we can change, but as a nation we don't. Talk about an epiphany. And what about all those other pro-life issues? We're not just anti-abortion. We're pro-life on every issue that touches our God-given dignity as human beings, created in the image and likeness of God and redeemed by the blood of Christ. In the womb, throughout life, all the way to natural death. Jesus' gospel of life offers us our only hope for a more humane future. And today, on this 38th anniversary of Roe versus Wade, he invites all of us to pour ourselves out completely like he did, to continue his yet unfinished work of building God's kingdom of truth and justice in our world today.